You know, 2 weeks ago, we started a new series in discipleship, and we started talking about things of really how to be a good disciple and what discipleship really was. And we talked about 2 weeks, like there's two main core parts of being a disciple. Do you remember what they were? It's probably not. It was 2 weeks ago, Pastor. I don't remember. Well, I'm going to remind you then. So the two main core parts of being in discipleship are, first and foremost, your intentional walk with Jesus. Your intentional walk with Jesus. And when you have that one going and you have that one under control, then it's the intentional relationship building with others. Two phases of discipleship. You can't do the first one and do the second one out of order. They have to be in that order. Otherwise, well, things just kind of get messed up a little bit. And we want to talk about in this series about how to be a good disciple, how to have a good discipleship. And I think one of the key aspects of discipleship is that it really takes discipline. To be a good disciple, it takes discipline. Now, this is not the discipline that necessarily that most people would bring to mind. In fact, oh, I did something wrong, I get in trouble, I'm being disciplined. No, this one has more to do with probably willpower, being, as in the core parts, being intentional about your walk. That type of discipline, of actually doing those things and making it part of your life. And that part starts at home. And I don't mean it starts at home with you teaching your children stuff. It starts at home with you. With you and the walk that you're doing, the self-discipline that you need to have to be a good disciple yourself before you can disciple anyone else. It's to exercise power over oneself, basically. That part of it, that discipline, is to exercise power over yourself. And sometimes we lack the ability to do that. We do. We don't like those things. We like to do what we want to do. So we lack the discipline to do some things. But we're going to get into that in a little bit. But one of the things to do to really have discipline and get discipleship in your life is to seek wisdom. Seeking wisdom is key. And this is just not a fleeting notion of wisdom. It's not a wisdom that, you know, that people outside that aren't associated with Christ would think about wisdom. No, it's a different type of wisdom. It's a different type of wisdom. I think in James chapter 3, it talks about wisdom being there and how we're supposed to get to ourselves to that point where, but wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all, it's pure, right? Wisdom from heaven is pure. It's peace-loving. It's considerate. It's submissive. It's full of mercy and good fruit. And what else? It's impartial and sincere. That type of wisdom is wisdom from somewhere else other than the worldly wisdom you would find from somebody that doesn't know our Lord and Savior. And it seems so contrary to what we would recognize as wisdom beyond the Bible. This is the heavenly wisdom. It's not worldly wisdom. It's not something. Worldly wisdom is something that's completely different. Worldly wisdom is something that has selfish ambition in the middle of it. Worldly wisdom has envy in it. It's not a wisdom that's a peace-loving, of understanding, of sincerity. It's something else. In fact, in Scripture, it would talk about how worldly wisdom is something that is evil. In fact, it talks about how it's earthly, it's unspiritual. In fact, it goes so far as to say that it's demonic in nature, worldly wisdom is. And that's kind of a bummer. You know, it's like, you're telling me that the wisdom that I could get can actually be demonic in nature? Well, yeah, it can be. If you're looking for wisdom in the wrong place, and you're not searching for wisdom that comes from our Father in heaven. Because that's the way people in the world usually chase down wisdom. They chase wisdom without finding God, without finding Jesus in their life. They chase down that wisdom to try to get ahead in life, whether it's their business or finances, whether it's, you know, something that they want so bad, whether it's something that they want to get even with somebody. They will use wisdom for all sorts of stuff to do all sorts of evil acts. But you remember what it said in James, what heavenly wisdom was? It said it was full of peace, sincerity. Go ahead and throw that James 3 back up there, will you? James 3. It's pure. It's considerate. It's submissive. That's the thing that a lot of us don't like in our lives. We don't like to be submissive. And that doesn't mean that's a submissiveness that you let people beat you down. It's one of where you show other people compassion, consideration for things. You show them sincerity, as it says up there. Thank you, Brandon. But this wisdom that we're chasing is something that we find in God. Something that we chase down in God. And this wisdom has been there from the beginning. In Proverbs, and we're going to be following Proverbs throughout this entire series. We're going to be looking at the wisdom of Proverbs and how we become good disciples and have good discipleship in our lives in Proverbs. And I'm finding a new loving for the book of Proverbs. Especially while I was putting this together, of learning so much more in there. Because in Proverbs 3, verse 19, it says that wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By understanding, He set the heavens in place. There was wisdom in the beginning of everything. Wisdom was with God when He decided to lay the foundations of earth. When He decided to put everything together in this universe, when He decided to knit you together in your mother's womb, He used wisdom to do that, to make you exactly the way you are supposed to be and He wanted you to be. He used wisdom in that. Wisdom has been around for countless times since the beginning of times. In fact, it says that wisdom existed in the beginning. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 27. I want to go through and I want to read that real quick. Would you turn to Proverbs chapter 8? And we're going to start at verse 22. And I want to read that together so you understand the importance that wisdom has in everything that goes on. Hopefully you guys are there. But it starts off like this. It starts off like this. It says, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of His works. Before His deeds of old, I was formed long ages ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there was no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before He made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when He set the heavens in place, when He marked out the horizons on the face of the depth." God possessed this wisdom, this heavenly wisdom. And you're probably thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, you're kind of beating that one to death. But it's so important for you to understand that you need to possess this wisdom to truly be a disciple. You need to have to, or to at least recognize that you have access to this wisdom as a disciple of Jesus. It is available to each and every person that would call upon the name of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, that you would have this wisdom. It's very important that you realize and know that. Because this possession of this type of wisdom will give avenue, it will give rise to the other values and core ethics and ideals in your life that disciples should possess. This is the beginning of all those other things that Jesus tells us we need to have. Wisdom, that heavenly wisdom, is that beginning. You can't find wisdom after the rest of those things because wisdom comes first. Wisdom shows you how to gain these. And as kids, as we grow up and stuff, we don't, it's like, you know, we think we're pretty smart. I know that, you know, it's like when I was growing up, I didn't realize how much of a genius my parents were until I had kids. You know, anybody in here that's got kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it even gets better when you're a grandparent, because then you really look like a genius. But that's the part of it. You have to have this wisdom. And sometimes wisdom is not recognized or is not seen by the youth as it's seen by older people. And the Bible talks about that repeatedly. You know, I get made fun of a lot of times. If I grow a beard in, I don't have the red beard I used to have. It's snow color. It's snow color. And people give me, a lot of guff about it sometimes. But it's like, you know what? It's a sign of wisdom. It's a sign of wisdom. I take it like that. So anyway, but wisdom is so important, because without God's wisdom, true discipleship cannot be achieved. True discipleship cannot be achieved without God's wisdom. So we need to chase that down. So how do we chase it down? How do we chase down wisdom in our life? Well, this is the part where we're going to get into being desiring to be a disciple. And one of the main things that you can ever do to possess or chase down this wisdom is to be diligent. Does everybody understand the word diligent, what that really means? Diligent. If you were to look it up, stuff, it'd say to work hard, to do these things. But it's not just about getting the work done. It's about getting the work done correctly. That's what true diligence is. It's getting the work done in a correct manner that you're supposed to have, that you're supposed to do. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and you guys should remember chapter 11 of Hebrews, right? Because we went over a little bit of series in chapter 11 of Hebrews. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, if you turn there, you will read how we're supposed to do things with a diligent manner. So if you turn to 11 and verse 6, it tells you in there how we're supposed to be in our diligence. It says in here, it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Well, I want you to pay attention to that word, earnestly seeking, because if you would actually go to the King James Version of the Bible, that word earnestly is actually replaced with the word diligently. That you would diligently seek Him. That means you seek God in all that you do. You seek Him earnestly. You seek Him diligently. You seek Him with such fervor that you would have Him envelop in your lives like it was a habit. To do those things, to believe in, to have faith. And it's not about just doing the work and getting it done correctly. It's about also the way we do the work. The way that we diligently seek God. The way that we earnestly come to Him and say, "God, I want You in my life." Like we were singing this morning about, and some of those words in there were talking about how we earnestly seek God. Seek Jesus in our life. And that's the way that we're supposed to go about wisdom and seeking it earnestly and diligently. It's about being pure and upright about how we're doing those things. And we say pure and upright, it's like, you know, we know what pure and upright really means. We know what pure and upright really means. Proverbs, it talks about how even children, a child makes himself known by his acts, right? By whether his conduct is pure and upright. That's in chapter 20 of Proverbs. That even children recognize and understand the pure and right way to do things. I think about my granddaughter sometimes when I catch her doing something she's not supposed to be doing. And I'll come in there and say, "Renly, what are you doing?" "Nothing. Nothing." I said, "Were you playing with this?" "No, I wasn't playing with that." And it's like, it's moved 12 feet from here to there. And you're the only one in the room. And she knows. She knows that the difference between pure and upright and not. But it's about seeking that rightness. It's about diligently seeking for us to be pure and upright, that we recognize that all the time. It's funny that, you know, we take that effect as we learn that kind of stuff as kids, but how many adults don't carry that over into adulthood? That they don't carry the pure and upright. They don't carry the righteousness and the right conduct into adulthood. It's because they live by the wisdom that comes from this world and not by heavenly wisdom. They don't diligently seek the correct type of wisdom in their life. And it's important that we do that. It's about our state of heart as we're seeking to be a disciple, to recognize those things. Because there's, I hate to break it to you folks, there's a lot of people out there who call themselves a disciple, but don't necessarily have the right state of heart, a right person of being. They're not necessarily pure and upright. And just because you call yourself a disciple doesn't mean that you are a disciple. Doesn't mean that. Because one of the things about it is that diligence is not native to human character. It's not native to human character for us to be diligent about things. We like things quickly. And diligence is not about quick things. We like those instant gratification things, you know, our streaming, our food. You know, we like to have all those things as quickly as we can have them to say we go on to the next bit. I was talking to somebody, and forgive me if I don't remember who it was. I was talking to somebody about my grandma and the way my grandma did things when she came across in the wagon train into Nebraska. And we were talking about how long it took to get things done with my grandma compared to what we have. Washing clothes. Washing clothes. Anybody remember those old tubs where they have those washboards? They're more or less like musical instruments nowadays, but, you know. But, we had some of those in our garage, that we'd had those tubs and those washboards. And I remember the old wash machine where my grandma thought was such an inspirational thing, that they would have this tub and they would have this little turny handle where it had the rubber parts on there where it would squeegee out the water from the clothes instead of you having to wring it. She thought that was the greatest thing because it took them less time to do that. And that's the way we look at things in life. We want our things to be done quickly. We like things to move quickly. We want to be satisfied quickly. And that's probably the exact opposite of diligence, of being that way. We like to put in minimal effort. We don't want to have to think things a lot. You know, it's like, okay, just give it to me. I don't want to have to think about it. But diligence is more than just work. Diligence is more than just hard work. Diligence is also smart work. You have to have the smart work in there with the other work for it to be diligence. I was putting this message together. I was thinking about our farmers around here. In particular, I was thinking about Mike Versteeg. I was thinking about how many acres they do and all the tractors they have and the harvesters they have. And how long it would take them to harvest that or plant that or do whatever they had if they didn't have those tractors. But nowadays, it's smart work to have those type of implementation machineries. It's smart work to do those because you can get those things done a lot quicker, a lot easier. It doesn't mean it's necessarily evil that you have those smart things. It just makes sense to have it for what you need. It's about working hard, yes, but it's also about working smartly and having that understanding and that knowledge and working smart. That's what wisdom is. It's about being that way. And it's essential for us to put it into our work of being a disciple. It's essential that we be diligent in growing up and being a disciple, and then also in that diligence about taking discipleship out to somebody else. You don't go introduce Jesus to somebody and say, okay, now you're on your own. You're supposed to lead them along the way as you are led along the way. That you would do it with diligence, that you would check in often, that you would make sure that they understand things, that you would continue to grow in your knowledge and your wisdom so you could pass it on to the next person. That's about working smart. That's about working hard. Because when you do that, when you are diligent, it brings something into your life that you would truly understand and truly want. Diligence, when you apply it correctly to being a disciple, brings true fulfillment and contentment into your life. If you are not diligent in doing these things, you will not feel that in your life. That will not be a part of your life. Proverbs chapter 13 talks about how the soul of a sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. That means when you're diligent with what you're doing, you get what you need when you need it. Do you have it available to you? Think about somebody that would have planted that or not planted that field with a tractor and only got a half done. They would probably not have what they needed at the time they needed it. Or maybe they just said, well, I'm going to sleep in today. I'm not going to go to work. And all of a sudden, you don't have money to pay your bills because you didn't have the diligence to get up out of bed and go do what you needed to do. The same thing applies to your walk with Jesus. That you need to have that type of diligence in your life so you can be fulfilled at the time, that you can have contentment with your walk with Jesus, knowing that you're putting forth the effort. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a genius and understand and know everything all at the same time. That's not the way the walk with the Lord happens. But it does mean that you get what you need at the time that you need it. It's about being fulfilled in that manner. We have people all the time that complain about never being satisfied, that they don't have the things, but they haven't applied themselves. They're always yearning for something else, right? The world's full of them. People complaining about, well, I don't know, I wish I had that, or I don't know how so-and-so got that, or, you know what, that would look better on me. If you want something like that, then you need to apply yourself to go get it. The same applies in your walk with Jesus. If you want a better walk with Jesus, if you see somebody else going, they have such connection, they have such maturity in their Christian faith, they have such a relationship with God, I wish I had that, then go get it. Go get it. It's yours. It's available to you. All you have to do is apply yourself, go through the work, and achieve it. But people want to be spoon-fed. They want to be fed. They want to listen to the preacher up front in the morning talk about the scripture in the Bible instead of cracking open the Bible themselves and reading it for themselves. They listen to the podcasts on the radio and stuff, people talking about how the church doesn't do this, the church doesn't do that, or, you know, Christians behave in this way. But when they look at themselves, they're behaving in the exact same manner as the person on the radio is complaining about. It happens all the time. And that's because they're not chasing the discipleship that they should be chasing. They're okay with a mediocre disciple. It is my prayer, it is my wish, it is my hope, it is my, I don't know what else to put with it, desire that you would all want to have the discipleship that Jesus wants you to have. To have that in your life, to be fulfilled, to have contentness. Because it's a big thing. To find that point in your life where you can have comfort and peace. Because outside of that wisdom, outside of that discipleship, you cannot find it. It's not available. It's about working the land. It's about doing what you need to do to achieve something. Says that the person that works their land will have abundant food. But those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Now, a lot of people look at this and they think about finances. But I want you to look at this and I want you to think about your spirit. I want you to think about your spirit and the Holy Spirit inside of you. And if you're there to work and let God enter you and let the Holy Spirit come into you, then you will have abundant food. But if you're there just to chase fantasies, if you're there not to do the work, to have somebody else feed it to you, you will not have that. You will be empty inside. And then you will wonder why you're not happy. You'll wonder why you don't have peace and joy. You'll wonder why there's no contentment in you. You'll wonder why there's no comfort available. You'll wonder all those things. And you will think it's somebody else's fault. Always. That somebody else didn't provide me with this. It's yours for the taking. It's for everybody for the taking. And I want people to recognize the fact that all you have to do is reach out, grab onto Jesus, and it will be provided. As long as you want to do your due diligence and achieve those things. It's a great thing to have in life, this ability to go out and have all these things. It's about Jesus truly giving us the authority that He gave us to be what He wanted us to be in this life. First of all, He wanted us to be His disciple. And then He wanted us to go out and make other disciples, right? He gave us authority to make disciples of all nations. But He said we have to do something first. He said we have to achieve something first. Luke said in his book that we are to carry our own cross, to make it part of our daily life. It says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. That's daily, folks. That's not just every once in a while. That's a daily thing. And it's great. It's great that we can do that because Jesus has shown the way to do that. Because we have to understand that discipleship is actually the continuation. It's the continuation of the most precious gift we have ever been given or ever will have. It's that possession of knowing that you are part of Jesus, that He is part of your life, that you follow Him, that when you meet your Maker someday, that you will actually live in His house and be a part of His kingdom. And I'm not here to say and butter it over and tell you it's going to be easy because it's not going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy. There's going to be times that we're going to have to work a little harder than other ones. Especially when we're having a bad day, we have to work a little bit harder. We have to go, hey, we have to make the conscious decision to say, I'm going to live a life for Jesus and this is the way I'm going to act. I'm going to act with peace. I'm going to act with kindness. I'm going to act with joy. I'm going to act with compassion. I'm going to do all those things. But it's also about walking along with Jesus and knowing that you are empowered to do those things. So it's not all of a bummer message. It's not all something that's just on us, because if we were to do it by ourselves, well, we'd have some troubles. But God has empowered you. God has given you ability. God has sent a messenger to be with you that says, this is all available, and I'm going to send somebody to help you out with it. So as much as we are there being discipled by the Holy Spirit, and we're part of that in our life, we're disciples. But we need to show wisdom by being diligent. And we're going to learn a few more things in the next few weeks about what it looks like to be a true disciple and have discipleship in our lives. It's a great journey to be on. There's no other journey I'd rather be on in life than the one I'm on right now. Trust me, I've been on other journeys in my life. But this is a great journey. And I want you to realize that this is a great journey. And God loves you very much. Jesus loves you very much. Realizing that you are not alone. And when you have those tough days, when you have those days in there, when you have those moments that you say, you know what? I don't understand. I want this right now. Or why is this happening? Remember. Just remember what it's like to be a true follower of Jesus and have Him in your life. So as we get ready to close for the day, my prayer for you is that you would never, ever, ever be okay with where you're at, Jesus, right now. That you would always strive to have more of Him each and every day. Because that is the greatest gift we can ever have. And I love the fact that I get to have that journey with Him and with others. So let's stand. Let's worship the Lord. And let's remember that we are truly disciples of Jesus. And we are disciples together.